Hi everybody, this is Mario Levesque from Mario Explore. This is our special for the holidays that we presented to you last week. And we wanted to do something special. We want to talk about who we are and also introduce you our team. Eric, which is with me today, will have some questions. And we're going to try to demystify why are we doing this podcast. Eric, welcome.
Hi, everybody. My name is Eric Saint-Pierre. I'm the producer of Mario Explore. We started this project a few months back, and we have a lot of fun. So far, 8 episodes has been released. Looking forward for all the new ones in the new year. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. And we're going to talk, like Mario just said, about his background, who he is personally, professionally, and the idea behind the creation of Mario Explore podcast. So enjoy.
I think Eric wanted to ask me. Yeah.
Okay, so first question. Now it's your turn to answer the question. Can you tell us, Mario, what's your background? Where you're coming from? Personal background, professional background.
Yes.
Everything you can tell us or you're allowed to tell us.
You'll see that I'm really a simple guy, though, but was born and raised in Gaspé in a town called Carleton back then. Now it's Carleton-sur-Mer. For people to locate that, it's in the eastern part of Quebec. But it's also, you know, I grew up in a place where everybody were poor. You know, this is the poorest place in North America, except of the south tip of Newfoundland, the Gaspé Peninsula, with a well below average. But that's a place where everybody learned to develop different skill and different trade, because we are all close to farm and farming equipment and fishery and all of that, you know, forestry. Growing up, I grew up in a family where my father and my mother divorced when I was young. And until I was in way into high school, we were the only family that the parents were divorced. So that put us a little bit of pressure growing up, that we were different than the other one. Not in a bad way, but in the way...
No, but back then, family were...
Yeah,
you know, they were together all through, anyway, good times and bad times.
In the way that that make me learn that we need in life not to judge people and to go with the person, not where they come from or what they're doing.
Well, did the kids make fun of you because of that? That's cool, or?
Yeah, not necessarily the kids, that they're growing up, because teacher back then I was different than now. And, you know, came from a world where that was a little bit more tough. When I was in junior school, every boys were coming to school with their hunting knife. So it's something that you can't see here today. You know, it would be considered as a weapon.
Why were they bringing knives to school? It's just like a...
Everybody was...
So to speak, like an item just to bring...
Yeah, but back then, you know, it's all the kids always had a knife on them, and we learned how to use that for a different thing. You know, if the same thing, then when you go... in camping, you need that. But just to show that it was different, you know, we come also from a time where bicycle had those metal pedal that were really, really hard on your chin.
This is really big spikes.
Spikes, and helmet were not invented back then. Safety belt and car, I thought that was put there as a bottle opener. I never, you know,
all they the came way, as an option back then.
Yeah, and you know, really, really more freedom than what we have right now. We grew up in this area. Started to work really young. At 10, I used to bellboy for the hotel there, doing the luggage in the morning for $4 per day. After that, when I was 11, 12, 13, I used to work at the fish plant in the frozen section, you know, glazing fish for the people who know. During the summer, I was working
the
at...
smell.
No, there's not really, because the place where I was working was minus 40. So, you know, glazing fish. And I also did, you know, all kind of work, working in a department store and, you know, construction and whatever job needed to be done, we were there to do it. So learn a lot of different skills, starting with...
Hardworking kid.
Yeah, but, yeah, learn to work early and learn the value also of money really, really early. So because we were poor and we had to do it to bring milk to my sister. Sisters. I have two sisters and my mother back then. And, you know, that brought me to... Even if I was doing all that, I was still a good athlete. Did a lot of track and field and, you know, football and all different. The only thing that I didn't really play was hockey because I was too poor to afford the equipment.
So you were going to school, working, and doing sports?
Yeah, doing sports. And yeah, and having a lot of time also back then to party and do all this stuff. Was really lucky that my kids didn't go to, took the same path than I did.
And that brought you to being an entrepreneur and...
Yeah, but when I was 14, I already was tall like a grown-up, 5'10", 180 pounds. So we were able to go to bar and started to do modeling to sell clothes. Back then, people can remember that. In bar and different place like that.
Well, basically, they were doing fashion shows in bars.
Yeah, so...
Was it only in local, like tiny area like that, or Montreal and the big city were doing the same thing?
Yeah, they were doing
that before.
They were doing that, but that was more in the mid-80s or early 80s where different store were doing that to try to sell more clothes.
Because just a quick thing, I remember they do it. They've done it at Sears or LeBay or
same thing than that.
Yeah, same kind of. I just find it funny in bars. It's
yeah, but it's
odd crowd to, you know, I just want to get drunk. And who are those?
Yeah,
kids
it was different modeling back in front then because you know back in the early 80s, bars were. You had a lot of people going there, and it's different than what you have now. Okay. So majority of the people were going out on the Friday and Saturday night. But, also, I developed my entrepreneurial skill at 14. Even if we were poor, I borrowed money to the Caisse Desjardins to buy 10 windsurf. And, you know, people will remind when you come from the Gaspé, that I was the guy who teach windsurfing and won bronze medal at the Quebec game. But I was also in the heavy side when I was doing windsurfing and a specialist in the really high wind. And we had a lot of fun back then doing that. And went to college. And after that, we went to move to Montreal. With my actual wife. The wife that I have right now is the same one. She's my high school sweetheart. We've been together since 1986. And she was the perfect one because she put up with all the stuff that I did all around my life. In 94, we got married. We moved to Florida. We stayed there a couple of years, and we decided to come back to Gaspé, where, you know, to found our family and where we came from. Because it's really hard when you come from a region to just leave and leave that behind. Arrived to Gaspé and started to work. And truthfully, I work for myself since I'm 25. So I did all kind of work like... vacuum salesman and vacuum cleaner salesman. I did
door to door.
Yeah, you know, welder, mechanic, roofing, a lot of stuff like that. And when we got back to Gaspé, I had a car accident, which I broke my neck, and saw an opportunity there because they didn't have those collars to immobilize me. So I started Ortho ML, which is still there, and sold a few years afterward to...
Does it still go under the name Ortho ML?
Yes, it's still the same, and it's been...
Orthopedic and...
Yeah.
Braces and...
Everything, yeah. Everything in the medical field, going from all the way from bed to wheelchair to... all those
trolls.
Yeah, so we developed that in the Gaspé and New Brunswick, and until all the way up to Nova Scotia. And also during the same time, I did some politics, federal politics, which was under Mr. Paul Martin. Present myself in the election of 2006. And run for the Liberals back then. This is one of the reasons why we decided to found the podcast. My political background. In 2006, I was pretty much center because and center right, maybe a little bit because of the economic side. But when I run, and I'm the same guy than back then. And what happened in the last 20 years or 15 year, everybody moved left. So I don't recognize myself, and everybody moved left and accused people like me to being right and far right, which is not the truth, of course. And you know, you listen now to politicians, and you do understand the way that they're saying stuff. It's we're almost all the people are the enemy. And when you want to make a decision for your life, you need to have the right information. So I said, I didn't move, they all move. And now they carry false information a lot of the time to try to control what people are thinking and what the people will want to do politically. So this
is... puppet and the puppet master.
Yeah, so truthfully, this is the reason why we founded that. 2000 a few weeks ago, but 2006 at the same time also, I became more and more interested in my old love stuff that I was doing when I was younger. Got back to actually it was in 2005. Got back to oil and gas pretty much in full time. When I was younger, I was doing that on and off to pay for my tuition and you know, to get money. But if people remember, in around the 2004-2005, company like Junex started to explore again in Quebec, and did really good and well for the development. And back then also, Quebec government were inviting investors to come here. So lucky enough, with the work that I did, company like Talisman, Scott Vero, called me and asked me to do some seismic project. I did those project for Talisman, and all the other company afterwards started to come with me to do their projects.
And so, you work as an independent, right?
Yeah, that was my own company. Called
subcontractor.
And, yeah, subcontractor doing work for all the oil and gas and bird dogging those projects. So 2006, 7, 8, 9, truthfully, I bird dug and did the permitting and did the seismic project for all the company in the lowland, which gave me really, really a good overview of what was going on here with the different company.
And the possibilities that you could exploit.
Yeah,
and
work on the different well also with people from Quebec.
Or explore as Mario explores.
But back then, that wasn't for that. But that led me to, in 2000 and...
And that's when you met your current partner?
Yeah, right? In 2016. And this is how I met my actual partner through one of the company there who called me one day and say one of the investors want to develop Quebec. And my partner came here and we visited well and we started to talk to each other at one point. You know, we said, why don't we start a company together? What we did. And, you know, we created Utica Resource with the goal to develop in Quebec, especially with the new regulation and the new law that was just implemented, 2016 new law, after a lot of study in Quebec. You know, we were really certain that the government, after all those study and the way that they were talking to us, we would be able to develop. Until 2021, the Prime Minister, end of 21, Prime Minister announced that they're not going to want to develop anymore. And 2022 passed a bill to ban oil and gas from Quebec. One of the important thing in that, we have a litige right now with the government, which is not relevant for the podcast, but what is relevant is the fact that people need to have the right information in front of them to make those decisions.
No, and by knowing that there are some resources that we should exploit and do something
about. Large resource in Quebec. Quebec has the largest undeveloped field in presently in the world. We could have a major impact with our partners across the ocean. And our ally, but we'll see where it goes.
And we'll leave it there for today. We already talked a little bit about those subjects in previous podcasts, and we will probably still talk about it.
Yeah, but one of the important thing in that it's we decided to create a podcast for the people to have the right information to be able to make the right decision into their life with the different field. So you saw us talking about where the oil and gas is coming from and how its energy is created. But we got to talk about all kind of different topics. And
politics.
Politics, energy, economy, you know, the place that Quebec can have in the world right now, the place where we should be also, and the fact that people need to get involved, because for too long now people give their life into the hand of the government to be managed. And I believe that there's nobody better than yourself to manage your life. So one of the goals of this podcast...
Well, like you said earlier, when we were young, we had the liberty of doing what we want when we want it. Now, according to our government, we have to do whatever they say, or we have to agree to it, because we switch that mentality at some point in our lives, in the society, that it is what it is right now, which...
Yeah, and
we're not used to that.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be. We should be able to decide for ourselves. We're not into a dictatorship, and this is important. People will also bring, and media will bring a lot of false information and disinformation, according to the way that I see that, hiding some fact. And, you know, if there's an important thing that people need to understand right now in politics.
And just to make clear, we're not bashing the media here, or the goal of the podcast is not to bash on them, but it's true what Mario just said, that they're not telling the truth, basically, or all of it, at least.
Yeah, it's hiding information sometime, or not reporting some information. It's like lying to me. One of the thing, you know, which is important right now, there's some fact that people need to get interested. And if you look at Bill 22, which is the expropriation bill right now, people need to understand the importance of all those things in our life. Yeah, people will say, look, they ban oil and gas. That's a good thing. Why would it be a good thing when we, which is Bill 21, why would it be a good thing until we use it? What's the energy of transition right now? How do, you know, all the narrative that we have right now on the different topic, we need to be realistic. And the realist is not there anymore. And if you look at the last couple of podcasts that we had, a lot of those specialists are doctors in their field, but also really realistic in the way that it could be influence in the world right now in different energy, like nuclear, if you look at the lithium, if you look at all the different ones that we're talking about, oil and gas, and you know, we need to be realistic where we are, where we are going. And it's not just, we're not living in La La Land, you know, it's not a sci-fi movie. It's we need to develop different scenario to be able to reach the goal that everybody have.
On that matter, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
We know that the government of Quebec wants to switch everything, like gas is the devil, right? According to them. They want to switch everything to electricity.
Yeah.
By 2035, I think, if I'm correct, and ban the selling of new cars and whatever and whatnot. And, you know, combustion will be, you'll be the baddest person on earth. Do you think it's realist to, you know, there's a lot of renewable energy or other option. Does it make sense, speaking now today in 2023, that we make that transition in 13 years or so? Especially with the service that hydro brings, when there's a millimeter of icy snow, everything breaks down or goes to down the drain.
Yeah,
sort of speak.
Yeah. the question is really good, because you will have a rhetorical question and theological question that people can, you can just believe that it could happen, or you can be scientific, which people present themselves are not, and look at the hard facts. Mm. How much energy do we use in Quebec? Right now, we're using about 45% of our energy is electricity. About 55%, it's other source. You know, you're going to have oil, gas, and coal, and different energy like that. So how much, let's say that it's 50-50. So we would need to produce twice the amount of electricity that we have right now to be able to replace the energy used right now. That would be the fact if you could replace 100%, because there's some place where oil and gas, you can't replace that. We're using the molecule also, not just to burn it, you know, to create element. And this is one of the reasons why it doesn't make sense to me to have banned oil and gas, because even if you are net zero, you're still going to use about 30% of oil and gas still into the big mix. So we're depriving ourselves of a good source of revenue on that. To replace what we have right now with electricity, we would need to double the capacity. So there's 63 water dams in Quebec. So we would need to build 63 new
and more
ones.
flooding area in the future, because when we move
nuclear power plant whatever, but it's huge, a lot of investment. We saw in the last couple of days that Hydro-Québec has plan to refurbish everything, you know, $200 billion. That's going to cost a lot of money to be able to achieve that. I don't tell you that it's not achievable. What I'm telling you right now is going to take more time to do it first. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take a lot of money. And we need to be realistic of the capacity of Quebec to do it.
That said, we produce a large amount of electricity as we speak, and we sell a lot of it. If we we still sell it outside the country, and we should keep more for us in that way, because we stock some energy, which we don't use. So to solve the problem, we should sell less or produce more, like you just said, with dams. But
no, but the truth, the way it works,
it's we have to balance it.
Yeah, the way it works, it's because the energy that we sell, depending the time of the year, we are short only for a short period of time because we're not using the energy like we should do it.
Yeah, but with electric cars and everything, at some point, we'll need 100%, no?
No, because you could balance. Right now, even today, we could replace all the car in Quebec probably with what it's already there. Mm. But the problem that we have, we're living in the northern region where we need to heat our house. And it's about one of the only places where you do that. But using electricity to eat, you know, you lose a lot of energy. And the peak of electricity usage is when it's cold. So if we had other source of energy to heat our house, that would make more sense, and then we could replace probably the whole electric vehicle field with the whole automobile field with electric cars. So, but it's really the way that we're doing the utilization of the whole thing.
Before we get back on the main topics, because we're doing a podcast right now of electricity and stuff, more of where the topics were at the beginning. Just quick question before we get back to it. Can you name one country, because you just made a good point with the way and everything, it's all mixed together. But is there a country right now in the world that actually does that and are not as dependent as us that on the electricity consumption? And because we're using so much electricity now, and we're going to use a lot more because we're stupid in a way that we think that's the only solution. Is there a country right now who's doing exactly what you just said that we could benefit from?
Yeah,
at least look at where they're doing and might maybe try to input that into our own system?
A lot of people compare us to this country, actually, which is Norway. And you also have Sweden, but Norway, they have electric water dam like we have. They also are one of the largest producer of oil and gas in the world. It's a small country, 6 million people, but they own about 1.5% of the whole wealth of the world. So they did really, really good with that. And their plan, it's, you know, Norway, they have high tax and high social service like we have. They compare a lot like Quebec, but they also manage their energy way different than what we are having here. You know, it's a lot of people use natural gas to heat their home, and it's also the place in the world where you have the most electric car per person. So I think that they're doing the right thing for the transition right now. And as the Prime Minister of Norway said last January, they're going to keep producing all the molecule until it's all drowned. Why? Because it's the most ethical one in the world. Exactly what we should be doing here, because compared to other country, the way that Quebec and Canada is doing it, that's the best way to do.
So if there's any Swedes or Norwegians are listening right now, please reach our government and tell them what to do, please.
Eric, if you're an environmentalist right now, today, and if you really care about the world.
I do care about the world.
But if the global warming concern you, mm-hmm. you should be on the top of Quebec government to force them to produce natural gas and sell it to either China or India, because those guys are going to use more coal and more coal.
I wish, but I will probably end up like a JFK or something, because I will tell the truth and they won't like me. Oh, just a joke about this, but seriously, yeah, but see, that brings, you know, that to, like you said, the power to the people, and we're the one who in the end are the bosses in a way, just don't get me wrong here, We're not in charge of the country, but we have a huge impact with our saying, and we should outspoke our mind more often, if you ask me. That's just my opinion here. I'm not telling you what to do, but
it's important, because you can't imagine how much of an impact that a letter to your MPs, a letter to the minister, a letter could have. And
look at the teachers and the nurses right now in Quebec. I mean, enough is enough at some point, and they're doing the right thing, even though there's people paying for that in a way, the kids and everything. But I mean, that's the way to do it, because they never listens to us.
When you have the right information afterward, you can go and ask your committant to do something.
Right, so let's get back more to a joyful topic with
special. it's really joyful to me, because now I'm bringing good information to people.
The podcast.
Yeah, we developed the podcast for that after a couple of years of
MarioExplore.ca.
Yeah, MarioExplore.ca. After a couple of years of trying to bring information to regular media, which you said earlier that we're not bashing, but I'm telling you the truth. We've been trying to reach you guys through those guys, and it didn't work. And the reason, one of the main reasons,
speaking about the media, right?
Yeah, I speak about the media. The one of the main reasons why we created that is to be able to bring truthful information to the general population. And when it's there, it's there. So, and I believe that people are smart enough to make the right decision.
Yeah, and the more you will share our channel or social media or go on the website, the more content we can have. That's the first thing for sure. Guesses, more guesses, and everything. We have only 8 episodes so far, but I mean, it's growing and growing, and it's because of people like you. And the more the words gets out, I mean, at some point, you know, who knows?
One of my goals, though, that I would really like, it's people now that you know who we are, and we're not like mysterious people. You know, reach us, ask questions, tell us what you would like to hear in those podcasts. Who would you like us to invite in the podcast? And we can talk about any kind of subject. If you like cooking stuff, we can do it. You know, if you like forestry, if you like hunting,
let's get Martha Stewart next week.
Yeah, whoever, because you know, we gonna try to bring them to you. Any information that you like,
it was created for politics, so social benefits and renewable energy and whatnot. But we want to talk about more subject, obviously, and it's just that we want to bring it in a way that people will understand.
Yeah, will understand, and will also have factual information in front of them. So we're not there to make it prettier than it is, but we're there, though, to bring you the hard fight and fact and the scientific one.
We just talk about who is it for, but why people should listen to Mario Explore to compare to the thousand and thousand podcasts out there.
Why you should listen to us, it's you probably saw since the beginning, I don't try to taint or to bring you my own personal view or belief in those podcasts. I try to ask questions to people, specialists in their field, and to let them explain to you exactly what it is. I'm not... and I'm far from being...
It's more important what the guest has to say than what's your opinion.
Yeah, and I'm far from being a journalist that can orientate the conversation. It's not my goal. I'm really curious. I like to learn. I like... And this is the way... sorry, that I has the question. But to me, the guest is the most important person. It's not the host. And the message that we want, and the information is from this guest. The way that he will bring it, it's up to them. But this is the reason why you should listen, because I promise you that we're going to try to bring you the maximum fact on everything, so you'll be able to make more enlightened decision in your life. Look, I think that should conclude this episode, and I hope that you learned a little bit more about us. I hope that you enjoy what you saw. Please share, comment. There's not too many comments right now, but I would like to have those comments to be able to make it perfect at the end. And share with people, and especially go to our website and register to our letter that you will receive the information on the weekly basis, because we're trying to release on the weekly basis new podcasts, and we're on all kind of different platforms. And Eric is doing a terrific job right now to bring all of that to you. Guys, the only thing that I do is to talk and sit in front of you and, having the easiest part.
Yeah, well, the credit doesn't come all to me. Mario's doing a good job as a host as well. And we're finding really interesting guests. And Mario has... we evolved since the first episode, and you can see the progress. And like you just said, subscribe, like, and share as much as you can. So sharing, commenting, and liking, and subscribe.
And especially,
and send us money.
Especially,
please.
Have fun during the holiday. enjoy people, enjoy the time with your family and your loved one. It's really, really
happy
important.
Happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays to everyone, like Eric just said. And we'll see you
early. January 3rd. We're getting back from vacation, so the episode will start rolling again. We're taking a 2-week sort of break. That's going to be,
Hopefully you like what you saw. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you guys.
Take care.